I don't think people who design furniture sit in there. Very interesting. What the body is like. My fingers know where to go, but because I can't remember the tune, I'm afraid to go further into the other parts. Yes, I just wanted to speak a few things just about my plans for the future. Istanbul for the weekend, following weekend, and so Monday tomorrow, then I'll go to Delhi. I'll spend maybe a week in Delhi, and looking into some things for Radhe Shyam, and getting some lighting and things like that for these apartments that the Hungarian Yatra has in Mayapur that couldn't be gotten in Calcutta, or just seems difficult to locate where it is. And then Rath Yatra is on the Wednesday, so it's 2 weeks coming Wednesday, I think. I've never been to Rath Yatra. It's crossed my mind to go. Anyone been to Rath Yatra? I mean Rath Yatra in Puri?
No.
Couple of devotees. You look pretty enthusiastic. So that would be nice, seeing Puri Jagannath. Of course, we see Jagannath all the time, but seeing Puri Jagannath and that whole festival, and then go to Mayapur, and then I'm planning to stay there until almost Janmashtami, and then I'll go back to Janmashtami to Hungary, and I'll stay there until the beginning of October. And around the first end of the first week, then we have extensive GBC meetings. It's done in Mumbai. So I'll go to Mumbai, probably coming through here, just because if I can get this book out in print in time for that, to bring some books. This is the Damodar Lila book, which is very nice book, children, adults, very written in there. It's very simple, a lot of conversation, very wonderful. Yeah, another Chaitanya is proofreading it.
It's beautiful.
Where are you now? And there's a couple of more difficult parts, like Narada's curse and Nalakubera Manigriva's prayers, relatively difficult, but everything else is just very, very nice, very extraordinary. It's very, very, very wonderful pastime. So probably in terms of Krishna's childhood pastime. That's the most prominent. It's like in the, not in terms of the mellow or the same type of mellow, but in its own mellow, it's like in the same category as the Rasalila is for Krishna's youthful pastimes in Vrindavan. And then I'll go back again to India, and then I'm not quite sure what will happen. Technically, I should come back for a Diwali festival in Hungary, and our annual sort of a big teaching program that we have aside from that, and then this Christmas marathon starts, which I don't think I'll. Right now, I don't think I'll participate in, but I'll participate in by being with the devotees, whether I go out or not. That's where I really need to get a what are they called? A wheelchair, electric wheelchair. If I do it, I may end up in a wheelchair if I do it. And then I'll go back again, or alternatively, depending on how I feel, I may not come back at all, and just stay there from October straight through till the end of March. I don't know. Some of you may remember that in '97, I did that also. Six months. I went and I stayed in Vrindavan for a break. Now I also need it. I just need it for two reasons. I'm not doing very well. I'm not going to list the things. And I realized when I was in Mayapur this year that if I try and if I don't do anything different, I'm not going to get through the year. I mean, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving the world, but I'm not going to be in the same shape that you normally see me in. So I need to do something different. And the other is that I feel it's also time, something what I talked about in class, is that my life's all about preaching, but I also need to spend time going deeply into Krishna consciousness in order to advance further. We're on a journey, and we really need to keep going, and although preaching is certainly the way to get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, but you also need to invest time and energy in your own spiritual development on times. In the material world, they call it like taking a sabbatical, where you just people go 6 months or a year. Students take a gap year, and they cut out of education to move into the temple and get refreshed. And so that's sort of the plan. Probably I would come back if I did this latter plan at the end of the year. So now we just come back for, I need to come back for the Sanktan festival in Hungary, which may coincide with the Sanktan festival here, and then, as you always know, we have also the Mulji Mela, as we call it, on the end of first week, usually either first or second weekend. This would be first. I have to come back to see my dentist, and then I would really go back. And of course, then there's 3 weeks of GBC meetings come in February as well. So that's between now and that's for this year. Our year ends with Gaur Purnima, so sometime after Gaur Purnima, usually beginning of April, I come back. And much as we're, I can really say brainwashed to at least certainly my generation of those devotees who joined Krishna consciousness in their youth, did that and sort of gave their lives to spreading mission of Krishna consciousness. It's an extremely difficult thing to do. You almost have sort of guilt feelings about not doing that, because Srila Prabhupada placed so much emphasis on preaching, taking responsibility, and there's always extraordinary opportunities available for preaching. Things are always developing and moving forward. Here, there's the Haveli. I'm just going to talk about that this evening instead of Varnashram. And in Hungary, we're sort of reassessing where we are, where we started, where we wanted to go, and where we're ending up, where we are now, and are we where we should be, and should we be going somewhere else, or sort of resetting compass. Very, very interesting. So that's very, very intense. I'm in touch, having regular conferences and like that with devotees. So it's difficult actually. To move physically is a little easier than to disconnect psychologically, especially when you're really in that mode. But let's see, whatever Lord Chaitanya has in store, then he'll facilitate. And that's something that everyone deserves and needs, is to really focus and concentrate on your spiritual life, because that's what we're here for. And we always say 16 rounds minimum. Krishna consciousness is not about the minimum. You can't get the maximum with the minimum. So we're shooting for the maximum. In this Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami gives this saying, Siddhasya Lakshanam Yatsat Sadhanam Sadhakascha Tat. So that according to the Siddha, according to the perfection, you have to have a corresponding sadhana. The sadhaka has to perform a corresponding sadhana, which is sort of standard. If you want to be a dentist, you don't go to economic school or something like that. You don't get the result. If you want to be an engineer, then don't go to dentistry. So there's a prescribed sadhana for a prescribed siddha, and as Prabhupada said, 16 is minimum. There's chanting 16 rounds. There's a vast storehouse of transcendental knowledge which devotees need to apply. I think I spoke about this the last time, but it's a very illuminating phenomena. And this is Brihad Bhagavatamrita I mentioned this morning, that this Sanat Kumar, when he was an extraordinary personality. So you could say he was already pure in terms of anartha just before he even came in contact with Krishna consciousness. So he had no history of, he had no contact with women, he had lived in Govardhan, There's no fingers, intoxication, or meat eating, or any of these things. So he was already pure in habit. And he was chanting, he got initiated, he was chanting this mantra. And he was chanting this mantra, and he was going everywhere. He was becoming a Brahma, he was becoming an Indra, he was going to the realm of liberation, into the Brahmajyoti. He could have gone to Kailash, not here in the material world, but Kailash, which is between the Brahmajyoti and Vaikuntha. But he couldn't get any further. He couldn't get any further than that. When he met with the Vaikuntha Dutas and they preached to him about the power and the glories of the holy name, they said, "You did really great up to now." Now he's invested. He's gone through Brahmanda. He's gone through lives of Brahma up to now, chanting, and he has great faith in his chanting, and when he chants, he's in ecstasy, and he's getting visions of Krishna. But he said, this is as far as you get. You can't go back to Godhead. You can't go back to Godhead, no matter how faithful you are, no matter how well you do. He says, why? Because you don't know what you're doing. So you have to go back to earth, and you have to hear from Vaishnavas, and study Srimad Bhagavatam. And until you understand what the process of devotional service is, your mantra can't give you its full result. This is as much as you're going to get, which is liberation. You can get free from material entanglement. You can enter into the bliss of Brahman. You can get Brahmananda. But you can't go to Vaikuntha. Because you don't know. You don't understand what chanting is. You don't know Nam Tattva, you don't know Rasa Tattva, you don't know Krishna Tattva. He didn't know anything. He didn't even know what demigods were. He didn't even know that there were such things as demigods. So he came back and he had to go to school, joined the Bhakta program in Mathura, and he got good association, he already had association. He was getting association, and it isn't that he wasn't, he had darshan of Krishna in the form of Vamandev. He saw him in terms of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. He saw him in as the Yajna Purush who comes out of the fire in Tapaloka. In other words, he's already seeing Krishna. But he said, this is as far, you don't get any, you don't get beyond this. So you can have these things by the power of chanting, but you can't have any more. So it's very interesting, isn't it? In other words, it's just not enough. And he was preaching. When he was Brahma, it seems like the Brahma, whoever the Brahma was, not very clear whether it's our Brahma or some other Brahma or... But whoever the Brahma was at that time, the world wasn't very Krishna conscious, so he organized Sankirtan throughout the whole world, the universe, sorry. So he was doing preaching. He did the same thing when he was Indra. He did the same thing when he was a king on the planet. So he did a lot of preaching, but he still couldn't get back to Godhead. Still couldn't get what he wanted. Because sadhanam sadakaschatat, you have to do a proportional, appropriate sadhan to get the right result. And if you don't, you can't get it. And that is shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, padasevanam. It's not just about kirtanam, minimum kirtanam. It's about doing all these things. So that going... Is that going deep into Krishna consciousness? I was going to say, so you have to go deeply into Krishna, but it's not even going deeply. Deeply is when you really study in depth and analyze and try to go into the meaning of verses. It's like this morning, I'm just doing an appendix for the book, which is Damodarashtakam. I was really trying to get away with not doing it because I was afraid I was going to end up trying to do a commentary on Damodarashtakam and I was going to drag out into something else. But at least I'm doing this translation that we say every time we say the English to Damodarashtaka. It's just so un-English and so unorganized. It's trying to put a lot of things in there, but it doesn't sound very nice. It certainly doesn't match the Sanskrit. But I'm doing it along with Sanatana Goswami's commentary. And Sanatana, if you read commentaries of Acharyas, of course you read Prabhupada's commentary, but Sanatana Goswami is someone who really goes deep. Just Varam Deva Moksham Na Moksham Badimba Chanyaham Vinesham Tadika. When he's translating a word, he says, it means this. It could also mean this. It also means this. It also can be taken in this way. It also can be taken in that way. It gives an idea of what going deeply into Shastra to analyze and absorb actually our intelligence, because we have intelligence and we're using it for so many things all the time, to absorb and purify our intelligence in, because Krishna is like a crystal. There's unlimited facets and you can look at Krishna in unlimited ways. He does that. Of course, when you try to put that into the translation of a verse, you can't put all these things in, otherwise you end up with a book. So you have to take one of them or combine a couple of them. But going deep. So our business is also to go deep. It's like it's a relationship. It's like here, some parents with their children. You can't have a superficial relationship with a child. Otherwise, it's not a relationship, and ultimately ends in friction, or the children take off and so on, because they're not being addressed as a person. You have to go deep. You have to know the person's nature. You have to be able to address that nature and love them accordingly, raise them accordingly, engage them accordingly. It's going deep. And Krishna is a person. So if we think that we're going to get away, we're going to go to the spiritual world by having a superficial approach to Krishna here, mistaken. Because Krishna's not going to allow it. No, he's not going to allow it in this case. The Vaikuntha Dutas, they stopped him. He said, you can't be superficial. You're chanting something and you don't even know what you're saying. In the beginning, he didn't even know who Gopal was. What to speak of where he was. He just knew he wanted to be there. So it's something that you hear me say all the time, and it's something that's really the Srimad Bhagavatam really emphasizes a few things. It emphasizes Nam Sankirtan, it emphasizes association with devotees, and it emphasizes hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Doesn't emphasize deity worship. Mentions preaching. But it emphasizes all of these things over and over and over and over again. Because those are the things that really help us become what we really are, which is Krishna's eternal servants. So anyway, that's the plan, my plan. And that's what we're, and our plan is to go back to Godhead, and it's a nice day, even though it's sometimes a little cool, sometimes a little warm, but we shouldn't get too comfortable thinking that either it's always going to be like this. Of course, you know, it could rain at any time. But it could get a lot worse than just rain. We're having the picnic. At what time? Is there a real picnic that goes along with this, like prasadam type?
Yeah.
Oh. That's warm? Or it's not? So that can happen anytime. Okay, well, we'll chant a little more, but do you have any questions? Go ahead, Adigo. Service in the mind. Well, the best service is listening to the Hare Krishna mantra. This morning, Sanatana Goswami was saying, picturing one's deity in one's mind and chanting in the mood of separation. So that's. And then, of course, everything that we do should be done also with our minds. So, not just with our bodies, but in that verse. So, ihariyasya harirdasya manasa vacha. So whatever you're doing, that you're engaging your mind in what you're doing also. Not that our mind is doing this and our bodies are doing that. And that's, you know, when you first, devotees may have experience of first doing something in their devotional service. In other words, when you first do deity worship, when you first chant Hare Krishna, when you first do Sankirtan, it's very blissful. And one of the reasons it's very blissful is because when you first do something, you're attentive because it's the first time you're doing it. So your mind is actually also absorbed. But for instance, once you get used to cooking, and cooking becomes an automatic thing, then, you know, you can cook nicely and your mind can be elsewhere. You can be chatting and doing so many other things. And then the bliss goes. Because it's not the same type of quality absorption. So one of those things is that you know, whatever service that we do with our bodies, that we're also absorbed in our minds in those activities, or in some complementary activity. I may be cooking, and I may not have to be thinking about that but then I should be thinking about how Mother Yashoda is cooking, how the cooking is going on in the spiritual realm, and how they also prepare. Cooking with sandalwood. Sandalwood and aloha. So it's pretty good, pretty expensive cooking ingredients. What to speak of, you know, everything else, pure ghee and so on. And that's more difficult. Chanchalam himanal krishna pramati balavad dritam. Very difficult to control the mind. It's what really yoga is about. And it's very interesting, you know, in Hungary, we have a college and a lot of we give course in yoga, how to actually be a yoga instructor. 3-year course in yoga instructor, which is a government accredited course. And then aside from that, there's a lot of devotees who teach yoga. And as sort of speculative and bogus it may be, these people are, and most of these, first there are non-devotees when they first come, they're used to sitting still and focusing their minds. When they come and start chanting Hare Krishna, they're very good. they just sit there and they can just chant because they've already practiced controlling their minds and fixing their minds on one point, whether they did it to a flame or a dot or a who knows what or a bullseye, but it works. And when you apply it to chanting, it's very effective. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has this one book, Prema Pradeep, and it's actually about yoga mishra bhakti. It's about how devotees practice yoga and how it can be actually an instrument to come to pure devotional service. Prabhupada didn't encourage it because it would probably end up being a distraction for us. The boys would end up becoming yogis rather than bhaktas. But it works. And it's something that if devotees put the energy into controlling the mind, not easy. Somebody else?
As you speak now, so you were speaking this morning about balancing bhajan and also with one's service. So sometimes we may think, oh, I wish to do some bhajan, I'll leave it down to Krishna to make arrangement, I'm sure he's in my heart. Or should we posit how much?
Anyway, in case you didn't hear, Murli was saying that if we're supposed to be doing bhajan, practicing some intense Krishna consciousness, we just leave it up to Krishna to make the arrangement. Well, we don't generally get Krishna to make arrangements for us. We're the ones who serve him, so no, we should use our intelligence and we should make the arrangements ourselves. Obviously, it has to take into a lot of factors into consideration, but we should take the initiative on ourselves and make that arrangement. It's like people take holidays. Why do they take holidays? Because you can't just keep working all the time. Well, I could make some more money and I could put it to good use, or it would be good for the business or the company. Yeah, sure, but you can't just work yourself into the ground. So same principle in Krishna consciousness is hard work. So whatever you're doing is demanding. So you need to, what to speak of, other types of work is also demanding. So you need to put real time and energy into spiritual development without anything else. It's like japa. You have that experience, you talk to people, ask them, are you chanting Hare Krishna? I'm always chanting, it's just going on in my mind all the time, whether I'm driving or cooking or in the business. I said, no, that's something else. Chanting Hare Krishna means you're not doing anything else. You're just sitting down and you're dedicating your time and energy to the holy name. And that's a different type of chanting, and it has a different type of result. Sadhana, sadhaka, sachat, you have a different type of result. You won't get the same result, just cursory, when it becomes a secondary affair. And the same thing for Krishna consciousness, at some time when there's nothing else going on. And it's not a luxury, it's a must. Mayapur and Vrindavan, higher education is very good, where devotees really study and go deeply. Of course, we have same thing you have here. You just go deeply into Shastra.